You may remember a horse called Marmello running in last year's Melbourne Cup for Johnny O'Neill and his crew. Well, Marmello's on his way back to Melbourne via a big win at Longchamp over the weekend. So all systems go for another crack for Marmello, and Johnny O'Neill joins me. G'day, John.
G'day, Matty. How are you, mate?
Not too bad. Well, you're ripe for a second crack with Marmello now.
Yeah, look, I think we are. We learned a hell of a lot last year. And as you probably know, Matty, we've known each other for a long time, and certainly from an owner's perspective, a lot of our guys in these horses are sort of novice trainers, or we think we are. So I think last year...
Some of them sockless too.
Yeah, well, absolutely, definitely sockless. I think the biggest challenge last year was we were certainly of the opinion that the horse couldn't win the Melbourne Cup unless he had a run here. So Hughie didn't really want to run him, but he sort of took the advice of a few of us and he ran him in the Caulfield Cup, and he was probably pretty unlucky not to to finish a hell of a lot closer. Mm. But what was pretty obvious is the horse really races better with big spaces between his runs. So even though he started certainly in the market, if not favoured in the Cup, he probably didn't perform as well as we would have liked.
All so, right. And that win in France in the Prix Maurice Denis or something has elevated him with Corals, a $16 Melbourne Cup favourite. But as you say, like, recent history says you've got to have a run here. You tried that last year and it didn't work, so you're going to go against the trend, but it suits Marmello. How do you get from now to the Melbourne Cup?
Well, I think Hughie's pretty focused on trying to find some tracks with a little bit of give. They haven't had that much rain over there, as you're probably aware, so the track was pretty hard again on the weekend in France. So I think he'll take him back home and have a good look. We obviously won the Kergolay last year and came, so we'll probably have a look at that. But at this stage, mate, we're certainly very, very keen to listen to all of Hughie's information. We're not even interfering at all, but...
He copped it once. He's not going to cop it twice, Hughie.
No, absolutely not. So I'm pretty sure he'll go back home and settle down. I mean, the format of the race was really solid. And, we were pretty confident going into it, knowing that we were first up over 3,000 metres about 8 weeks ago and ran second behind that world-class stayer in Vazabrad, however you want to sort of pronounce it. He obviously ran second in the Ascot Gold Cup.
Yeah.
We're certainly in a position where we thought he'd be really competitive, and Christophe Simeon was pretty keen to ride him. So, all in all, it was a weekend, mate.
Tell us about the win. He survived a stewards inquiry, a protest?
Yeah, look, he did, and we've certainly been on the end of a few of those over there where we've been knocked down and we thought there were some issues, and they very rarely get upheld. He sort of ducked out around probably 150 or 200 from home, but I think it was a pretty fair sort of run the last furlong home. So he sort of followed leader, got a lovely suck into the run around 500 from home, pulled out. He was just really strong. We spoke to Christophe Simeon, and he sort of said, look, if I had really been aggressive on the horse, he was holding the others and he felt like he was pulling away on the line. So I don't think there was any real concern for that. Ryan Moore rode the second horse, who ran before at York. So Ryan knows the horse very well. So he did his best to beat us, but we certainly prevailed, which was good.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going every bit as well as last year. So that's interesting with Marmello. Saracen, the joke was that Richard Friedman must have had a wedding in New York. When what was the story there and how did he come through at Saracen?
Well, obviously, we bought him a couple of years ago and thought he was a world-class sort of star. He came out and had a preparation and bled here. So we sort of made a decision once the horse left Chris Waller's to let Richard sort of play around with him for a bit. And Richard made the decision that he thought he would be better suited in America. The biggest challenge is, mate, as you know over there, they went black caviar pace for the first four furlongs. He's a staying horse. So, yeah. We were only there to sort of have a look and sort of use it as a fitness run, and given an opportunity to be close enough, try to finish over the top and win. But he couldn't even tack on. They went that hard. So at the end of the day, he pulled up really well. Young Regan Bayless rode him, which was really good. He came back and said everything is on track. So he'll run in a 2,200-metre Group 2 in about, I think, a week or 10 days over there. But he's really good. There's nothing wrong with him. They just went far too fast over the mile line. That was all.
So that journey continues. Master Time ran well. That was encouraging. So got a few ducks lined up. Good on you, Johnny. Thanks for that. And I look forward to catching you up soon. And you even enforced a rule change at the VRC with the sockless thing. So you've led a massive revolution there. Did you take note of that?
I did take note of that. Amanda was very kind with that. She called me and mentioned we're going to change the rules, so I thought it was fantastic.
Very influential figure. Good on you, John.
Good on you, Matty. See you.